Psalm chapter number 23. I need to just give you a little story to maybe lead up to where we're going. Every fourth Saturday of the month in Canton, the WNC Livestock Auction has what's called the Small Animal Sale. Now, they run a cattle auction every Monday, and then every fourth Thursday, they run an equine auction where they sell mules and donkeys and horses. And then they sell tack. I didn't know they sold tack until this week. Tack at 5:30 and horses at 7. And then on Saturday afternoon, starting at 2 o'clock, they sell small animals. Well, we went over. Mark had some chickens, so we went over and sold some of his chickens. And so then we went back, and I had been given a goat. Now, if you ever get given a goat, Brother Stephen gave me a goat. He went to Bolivia and gave me his goat. But what he didn't tell me was that that goat had been trained like a dog. And that goat had never seen another goat, and it thought it was a dog. And it'd get in the car and drive it, but when it gets in the car, it don't want to ride over in the pasture. It wants to drive. And so you get in a tractor, it's up on the tractor with you. If you get in a skid steer, it's in the skid steer with you. That's an aggravating goat. And he always wants to put his hind end right in my face because he wants to drive, you know. And so I don't mind him driving. I just don't like the way he sits, you know, putting it. And so anyway, we decided we'd get him a mate. So we did. And so we went to the sale. But we was at the sale and had my granddaughter there for the first time. And Katie's just, she's 10. And I'm going to blame it on her because it's a good excuse. But they started running the animals through, and they put out a little lamb. He was 5 weeks, bottle-fed lamb, probably weighed 7-8 pounds, little white lamb. Set it out there on that big auction floor in front of all those people, and it cried real big. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I stuck my number up. You know how that goes, don't you? And to be honest with you, I probably would have kept it up no matter what it cost, you know, just because I, you know. But I didn't realize that it was more than that. The Lord wanted to teach me some things. You see, I was once on the slave auction of sin, and the Lord redeemed me. And I was out there helpless and hopeless and could do nothing for myself, and the Lord reached in and redeemed me by his own precious blood. And so we brought that little lamb home. Of all the days, it was the Saturday before Charathon. And so you know what our day life's like around Charathon. So we scrambling, going Tractor Supply, getting formula for it and all the things. And so my, it has to be fed 3 times a day. And so my daughter takes on the dubious title of lamb feeder. And so we're mixing the lamb for me. She is mixing the lamb formula, taking bottles, and we're feeding that lamb 3 times a day. And if you feed a lamb, they will attach to you. They have human imprint. And boy, that thing imprinted with her. And literally, you've heard about them being underfoot. When you take a step, it's under your feet. When you feed it, the best way to feed it would be to put it between your legs because it gets excited. It couldn't take a bottle. So you stand, put it between your legs, and then you hold a bottle down, and that's the best way to control it, kind of squeeze it, and then give it the bottle. Well, that's where that thing wants to be all the time, right between your legs. So 2 weeks ago on Saturday, one of the goats got after another goat, and we was trying to separate them, and the bottom line was that we stepped backwards and stepped on the goat's foot and popped the goat's leg. It was the lamb. I've got too many animals. Donkeys, lambs, goats. It was the lamb. It was the lamb's foot. Broke the lamb's foot. Popped it off to the side. Clean break. So I found a veterinarian that was open on Saturday, took it to it. They x-rayed it, said, sure enough, bottom line, we wrapped it all up, and they x-rayed it back and said it. Did you know that lamb never cried out one time? Did you know it never cried out in pain, not once? It grit its teeth. I said, what is that noise? She said, it's gritting its teeth. I said, why? She said, that's what they do when they hurt so bad. I said, well, why does it not cry? She said, lambs don't cry. She said, it's a predatory thing. If a lamb is injured and cries, that means it'll draw other animals in. And they'll eat it. And so as a defensive measure, they don't cry. And I thought about it as a lamb dumb before its shears. I thought about our Savior. He never, you know the only time that lamb cries? When you separate from it. It's crying this afternoon. Goat got out, and I had to run put the goat up right quick. And boy, it heard me, and here it went. Benjamin's his name. And this was before Brian McBride preached on Benjamin the Lamb, Benjamin the Lion, the message on the two natures of the tribe of Benjamin. For that, the kids named it Benjamin on the way home. I didn't think it was a very good name, but I like it now. Benjamin. And so little Benjamin got his foot broke, stepped on it. Anyway, I brought Benjamin to church two Sunday mornings ago. And I took some stuff that I got in the Middle East, and I dressed up one of the Bible college boys as a shepherd. And ultimately, at the end, I laid that sheep around his neck. Because what they would do is, when all else failed, they'd take the rod, they'd pop that animal's leg, they'd splint it back up, and they'd carry it for about 3 weeks. Bones grow back faster when they're that age. And once you get that human imprint, and what would happen was, when a lamb would stray and stray and stray and would keep running off, a predator was going to get it. But it was not just that you're going to lose that lamb, you're going to lose a lot more lambs, because once he takes blood from the flock, those predators will follow the flock wherever you go, and they'll keep picking those lambs off. So if you ever lose one, you're going to lose a bunch. It's just the way it works. You ever notice in church how that works? If you ever lose one, one never gets discouraged, one drops out. Have you ever watched it? They go in wads. You ever notice that? We do. We encourage each other in groups, and we also discourage each other in groups. You ever notice that? These two preachers resigned. I didn't know about it. These two preachers in the county resigned this past week or in the past 2 weeks. I didn't know. Two churches this shortly. I had no idea. I mean, some of them been there a long time, and they resigned. Discouraging days. Discouraging times. So anyway, I brought the lamb in, and I preached a message right out of the middle of the book of Psalms, chapter 23. I preached on the passage, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me," and about imprinting that lamb and keeping that lamb. And once you imprint it, he's going to be under your feet forever. Well, after we got out of Sherathon, I took over the feeding duties. I can't go anywhere without that lamb. And they got pictures of me. He was in the doodle bug with me. I'm riding out around his lamb, sticking his head out the window. He likes to ride. And but he shed, and I got hair all over me. I got to get a lint brush to get it off of me. But they sent a picture out on the staff text. They don't know who missed who the most. The shepherd missed the lamb, the sheep, or the sheep missed the shepherd. I think it was a little of both. But I didn't bring Benjamin tonight. But I want to pick back up, and I want to once again look in this passage. And these have not been in order. They've been as the Lord's given them to me. They've been kind of random. We're jumping around, and we might finish it, and we might not. But tonight, I want to look in verse number 4 in Psalm 23, and I want to look in verse number 4. Now, this morning, I preached out of verse 3. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And that's not what I preached out. I preached out of verse 2. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul," verse 3. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake," verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And that's where I want to go tonight. The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So let's pray together. Lord, again, we commit this time and this service to you. Thank you for the privilege of gathering our churches together. Lord, we realize that we're different flocks, but we have the same shepherd in common. And Brother Eddie and I are just under shepherds. Lord, you're the great shepherd of the sheep. And Lord, we're glad that you got flocks scattered all across this old world. And we're glad that one of these days you're going to gather us all in. And Lord, we'll sup with you and you with us. But Lord, until that time, help us, I pray, to be agreeable, to get along down here, and to work together for the glory of God. In Christ's name, amen and amen. So this morning we talked about the simplicity of the shepherd and the sheep. The grass and water, that's all you need. That's a pretty simple life, just grass and water. We've talked about the straight path of the shepherd and the sheep. We've talked about the supper with the shepherd and the sheep. We've talked about several different things, but what I'm interested tonight in, I'm interested in the shadowy slope with the shepherd and his sheep. The scripture says in verse 4, look at your Bible, "Yea, yea." Now, when you see the word "yea" in other parts of your Bible, that same word is rendered "and," "also," "even," and "moreover." In other words, it's a continuation of a previous thought. It's a conjunctive. in the Hebrew language. It's a word that is a conjunctive. And so it's tying together something that's previously been said. So let's go back and see what he was talking about. He's talking about the still waters. He's talking about restoreth my soul, paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he says, and, yea, moreover, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, here's where I'm trying to go with this. Everybody's all about the Lord being his shepherd when the pastures are green. Everybody's all about the Lord being our shepherd when the waters are still. That's good stuff, right? Everybody's about that. Everybody shout on that, right? But can I submit to you tonight, he's also shepherd of the valley? And can I say it this way? God's way bigger than we think he is. He's way bigger than we think he is. We've just got a little glimpse of what God really is and who he really is. In any way you want to turn it. I don't know about this. Jim Valeur said, pastor down at Victory in Florida, he said that there is an actual place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And if you followed, and I don't know if it's the Brook Kedron or which one it is, but if you follow from Jerusalem and you head east down toward the Dead Sea, that there is a huge drop, and I can testify to that, it's straight down, drop into the Dead Sea. Jerusalem is like 2,700 feet above sea level. The Dead Sea is 400 feet below sea level. So you got a 3,100-foot drop. So to give you an idea, if you stand at Caesar's Head and look off, that's 2,000 feet. Well, this is 3,100 feet from Jerusalem down. And so you can imagine, it's not that far. And so you can imagine, it's got to be pretty quick drop-off as it goes down through there. And that area was probably where the temptation in the wilderness occurred, was going off in that direction. And one of the things that I noticed when I was there, I stood at the Dead Sea looking back, and I noticed something very unusual. It's just dirt and rocks and dirt and rocks. But every now and then you'll see a patch of green. And it's where the rock, the water, is coming out of that rock water table. It's oozing out of those mountains. And springs. And those springs, everywhere there's springs, that ground's so rich that it turns just as green as it can be. And they tell me that there are trails that go up the high road and that go up through the rocky way, but the problem is there's no water. Can you get from one place to the other by taking the high road? You can, but they ain't a thing to drink. So if you're going to take a group of sheep up, two things they need, we learned from this morning. They got to have water and they got to have grass. Well, where's the water and grass at? It ain't up on the ridge. The water and grass is down in the valley. That's where that water accumulates, down in that valley. There's little waterfalls that spew out, falling down to the Red Sea. It's pretty. And it's almost tropical looking because it's so warm down there, because it's so low down there. And it stays warm all the time. And so you think about what the scripture says. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I just want to present three truths to you tonight, and we'll be done. Just simple, if I can. When we talk about faith, and we sing about faith, and we shout about faith, but can I tell you that faith has never, ever been more plain than in the valley. Faith becomes more plain in the valley. What I'm saying is you don't have to have three seminars and read 14 how-to manuals to follow God in the valley. Faith becomes more plain in the valley. Yea, though. Notice that phrase, though. In other words, everything here seems to be opposed to faith. Yea, though I walk through it, I'll fear no evil. In other words, Though I'm walking through a valley, though I'm walking through shadows, though I'm walking through death, in spite of that is what I get from the thought of the word though. In spite of that, though, I'll fear no evil. The scripture says, yea, though I walk, it didn't say in the valley, it said through the valley. Aren't you glad that through means as a going in and as a going out? Yeah. Woo! Aren't you glad to know that there's a back end to this thing? Boy, I am. Hallelujah. Listen, if I thought that the valley all there ever was, I'd be of all men most miserable. That's all there was. But can I tell you the good news is, just as you went into a valley, thank God you're walking through a valley and you're going to come out somewhere on the other side, bound to. It's hard to lose me in these mountains. I don't know much, but I know water runs downhill. And if you'll take a little old spring somewhere, you get lost, you find a spring, follow it to a branch, follow that to a stream, that'll lead to a river, that'll lead to civilization. I just about guarantee you, I can be, you turn anyway, blindfold, set you out. If you know those few principles, you can find where you are. Don't take long, you know, to figure out where you are because of that water. Now, you can take me to South Carolina and set me out. There ain't a mountain nowhere. There ain't nothing to see. There ain't nothing to get your bearings from. Son, I can get lost within a quarter mile of the truck. I can get bad lost. Every pine tree looks just alike. Everything looks just alike. Go down there and spin me around three times. I'd starve to death. A truck be right over yonder. I'm telling you. I despise it. Man, when I crossed that on 11, I'm coming up Highway 11 right there on 26, been out of town, been gone. Son, when there's a little rise right now. I always got my eyes peeled. Because when you get across that little rise, there's the first of my mountains. Woo! You don't know what that does to a mountain boy to see them mountains. These people don't know what that means. I just got to tell you, it's just a part of us. I mean, you see that ridge, honey, that means home is not far off. It's still about 45 minutes to the house, but praise God, I'm over. As far as I'm concerned, the journey's over. I'm home, amen. I can just get around and see them mountains. Boys used to go to Tabernacle College, and what was that mountain down there, Brother Blanton? What's that mountain there right outside Traveler's Rest? What's that mountain? Parrot, yeah, there you go. And them boys used to say, Lord, send me anywhere as long as I can see Parris Mountain. That's what most of them did. They just went right and camped out right around the foot of the mountain. That's what many of them did for sure. But I'm going to tell you something. I love the mountains. I like mountains anywhere in any country. But boy, ain't no prettier mountains than our mountains. But the Bible says something about through the valley. And so think about it. It says something about falling. There's always a danger. There's a difference when you're going through the valley. Whether you're going up the valley or going down the valley, here's the danger of falling. In 2020, I had major back surgery. They just about cut me in half. They put in two cages. They put in six pedicle screws. They put in two stainless steel rods. They had a CT machine inside my body taking pictures while live camera while they were operating. And I was on the operating table 6 hours. And you know, I rode motorcycles and I all kind of contact sports and fell off horses and out of tree houses and everything else. But I found out that I don't bounce near as good as I once did. That's the problem. When you get older, you don't bounce near as. And boy, I'll tell you something. When I come out of that surgery, I could just step wrong, and it hurt. So I'd ease around, shuffle my feet, you know. And so it come out snow, I guess last year in 2021, come a snow, and I've got some little yak's tracks you put on your boots, little spring things you can walk in. My wife said, you ain't going outside without them boots. And I said, I ain't putting them on. And she said, well, you ain't going outside without them things on your feet. And I said, I ain't putting them things on. She said, why? I said, because I ain't going to stand on nothing slick. I'm going to be inside of a vehicle. I ain't getting on nothing slick. I'm too scared to get on things slick. Oh, if I was to fall, if I was to slip, if I was to undo some of this, I don't believe I could take it. I told her, I said, if I was to fall, just shoot me in place, all right? And swear it was an accident, because, I mean, I don't believe I could stand it again, you know? Going through all that. I mean, there's that thing of falling in the valley. But there's also that thing of falsehoods in the valley. Falsehoods. Oh, yeah. Valley's full of falsehoods. What do you mean? Well, I had COVID. Well, while I was out my back, but then I had COVID on top of that. So I come out, I'd been back at the church about a month, and I got a severe case of COVID. And boy, the devil whispered stuff in my ear during COVID. I'll never tell you what it was. I'll never repeat what it was. It was so discouraging. I've never been in such a place. Never have. And I've talked to other people that got the same place I was in. Bad place. I'm talking about a bad place spiritually. I don't know what it was. I don't know what went with it. I don't understand all I know about it. But I know this. My soul. Now, it was just shadows. And somebody said, a shadow of a bee can't sting you. A shadow of a dog can't bite you. And a shadow of a gun can't shoot you. But can I say that if suddenly there was a shadow of a man with a gun outside that window right there, we'd all take pause, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? We sure would. Why is that? Well, here's the thing. A man could have his fingers a certain way and it'd look like a gun. I mean, you could. You could do your fingers just right and make it look like a gun. You know, if you would practice at it, you know what it looked like. You could get over and you could project that onto that window and we'd think it was a gun. The thing about it is, shadows, they distort the truth. Shadows usually are way bigger than what it really is. You notice that? You see a shadow of something, it's great big, and it's not really that big. Well, do you understand that the book of Hebrews tells us that for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them whom through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Understand what I'm trying to say. I'm not looking forward to dying. I'm hoping to go out in a group plan. Brother Ray Aiken told me, he said, I want to experience death. He said, I do. He said, I've read about it, preached about it, said, I want to experience death. He said, I'm good if the Lord doesn't come back in the rapture. I'm good with that. And he said, I feel like I'm probably going to die. He said, you may live to see it. He said, I don't believe I will. He's right. But he said that. He said, I want to see what it's like. I want to experience it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to experience it. I want my undertaker to be the uppertaker. Amen? That's how I want to leave here. I want to go up in that group. Hey, you say, but preacher, it's the stinger's been taken out. I know it has. But I don't like nothing to do with death. And I've had to deal with it all my ministry. Don't like nothing to do with death. Don't like a thing to do with it. Because in that valley there are shadows. Shadows. Didn't say death, it said it was the shadow of death. And so in the valley there's fallen. In the valley there's falsehoods. In the valley there's fiends. You know what a fiend is? Evil. So how do you know there's fiends in the valley, preacher? Because the Bible says, I will fear no evil. There's got to be evil in there if I ain't got to fear it. I was reading after a shepherd today, and he said that the wolves and all those things would hide amongst those rocks. And they would have you kind of pinned down. And said that when the shepherd would be leading, and you'd lead them up through the valley, and said they'd pick off the stragglers. And the predators would pick off the stragglers. And a shepherd can't be in two places at one time. And so they would come out, and they'd let everybody pass, and then they'd jump out from the back. And they pick them off. Can I say this? You know one of the biggest, one of the biggest deterrents that sheep have? Numbers. Numbers. Predators can't figure out which one to get. And the good part is, if they can get the lambs inside of them, them big ewes and them big rams turn facing out, and they will, they'll corral themselves. If they don't stampede, they can stampede. But if they hear something coming, they'll actually bunch up. Goats will do it too. And that wolf gets a big bite. All he gets is that wool. He's gonna get a big bite of wool. He's not gonna get a whole lot. And they will. Numbers are their best defense, and having so many of them is their best defense. Well, the scripture says, I'll fear no evil. What kind of evil, preacher? Well, enemies, lions and wolves and robbers. Well, if you're in the valley, you fear calamity, rock slides and flash floods and all that stuff. If you're in the valley, you fear frailty, weakness, and blindness, and all of those things. And those things may not mean that much to you when you're young, but the older you get, the more they mean to you. Because you don't, like I say, don't bounce as good as you used to. You don't bounce back as good as you used to. But I want you to notice some words in this. The reason that faith becomes more plain in the valley. First of all, the Bible says, walk. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Can I just say it this way? That represents a steady pace. Walking through the valley. Somebody said, preacher, what do? I'm in a valley. Don't run. Don't run. Seems like if you run, sometimes the devil will chase you even faster. I learned that reading meters. I learned don't run from dogs. Number one, you can't outrun them. And number two, you might be able to buffalo one. You might be able to. Take your stand, turn and take your stand, and sometimes they'll bite you. I was bit twice in 5 years. But I actually put on light duty because I was bit two different times. And it wasn't much you could do about it, the way both of those occurred. But if I knew there's a dog, I'd turn and face it. And I have fought dogs you couldn't believe. I mean, I got to the point I'd be walking down the streets of Hendersonville with my meter reading hat on, and there'd be a poodle dog riding in a Cadillac with its head out the window having a big time see me and go crazy. My wife was with me. She knows it happened. They knew I was a man. I mean, it recognized the meter. I'm on the street of Hendersonville. That dog turned vicious. Them things are descendants of wolves, I guarantee you. Them poodle dogs. Descendants of wolves. Bible says walk at steady pace. Solomon said, for a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Whether we seem to be going up or whether we seem to be going down, we keep on walking because we're trying to get through the valley. Don't quit. Lord, don't quit in the valley. That's the worst thing you can do is quit in the valley. You're in the valley. If you quit in the valley, you're where you sit down. You can't sit down. He said, well, I can't go on. You got to go on. You got to get out of the valley. You can't stay where you are. It's not safe. But you don't run neither. The Bible says resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Sometimes you got to turn and stand your ground. And muster up all the courage you can. Even though you want to run, even though you want to cry, you muster up all the courage you can. Alan Aikens, oldest boy, spent a summer doing guide work in Alaska. And he told me a story that I've told many times. When he went up there, they trained him a little bit on bears, and they wouldn't give him bear spray. But there was salmon running, and they said, now, you're going to be a salmon guide, sketching them salmon, but said, the bears like them too, so said, you're going to have to watch. And said, it's your job to protect the people that you're guiding. And so he had taken a couple his way out in the wilderness, and he was going up through there with a fly rod popping holes, and he'd see some colors, see one turn, you know. And he wasn't trying to catch them. He's just seeing where they were. Then he'd call them up there and say, try right here, try right here. A doctor and his wife, I believe it was. And he said, so he had walked up the stream a little bit, and he looked back to his heart. There was a grizzly had come to the water between him and the couple. And it was his job to get between the couple and the grizzly. But in order to get between the couple and the grizzly, he had to go toward the grizzly and get past it. I said, what did you do? He said, well, what I did goes against common sense. I said, tell me about it. I said, what are you doing, you bear? You get out of here. I said, then what'd you do? He said, I hold my fishing pole up, and I went to frailing the air, and I went to hollering and screaming. I said, you get out of here. You ain't welcome here. You get out of here. I said, then what'd you do? He said, I went to picking up rocks and flinging them. I said, now, boy, I know you was raised on little old talks, but listen to me. Man, get close enough to throw a rock at a grizzly bear ain't right smart. I'm just going to tell you. That's not a smart. I'm not going close enough to shoot at one if I can keep from it, much less throw a rock at one. I said, what did it do? He said, it grunted at me. It looked at me. said, I, more he grunts said, I'd throw rocks, I'd splash water, I'd get that fishing pole, I'd wear you out, you get out of here. And he said, it turned around and left, went back into the bushes. I said, what in the world do you think happened? He said, well, anyway, I got it figured. That bear said, you know, that human has got some kind of disease that I've heard rabies is on the rise. And that human is crazy. And it's probably got rabies. And I ain't about to eat it because it's going to make me sick. And I'm just going to go eat me some berries for lunch. Forget the fish. Because that human obviously ain't going to leave me alone where I can have fish in peace. I'm going to go back away. afraid to eat somebody. Afraid to catch something. That's the only thing I figure. But can I tell you, there's a principle there. Sometimes, you better not run. There ain't no armor on the back. Sometimes you just gotta face your enemy. Sometimes you gotta stay with it. But not only is there a steady pace, but you have to bear with me on this one. Somewhere there's a shining face. What does that mean, preacher? What causes shadows? Light. Treasurer David said, someone has said that when there's a shadow, there must be light somewhere. Because you don't see shadows on a cloudy day. So if there's a shadow, there's light somewhere. Face shadows in that valley. You might not be able to see the sun, but it's out there somewhere. Can I say that, hey, the good shepherd's done went through the valley of the shadow of death. He done made it through. And he is our light. The scripture says in John 8, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Boy, if we could keep our face on him. We was talking about this morning how that we're not like the mule and the horse that get reined by a bit. But he said rather that he guideth us by his eye. We got to stay in eye contact to know which way he wants us to go. There's a steady pace, but there's also a shining face. We'll see at the end of this thing. And there's a settled race. A settled race. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through. In other words, it starts here and it ends here. You may be in the middle of it. You don't know where that point's at. But I promise you there's an end to it. Somewhere down the line. So, can I say very quickly, faith becomes more plain in the valley. But secondly, the Lord becomes more personal in the valley. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now there's something that occurred in the psalm. Look back. In verse 1, the Lord is, third person. Verse 2, he, third person. Verse number 3, he restoreth my soul, third person. But in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Do you see what happened? The pronoun changed from third person to first person. It ain't no longer talking about the shepherd. Now he's talking to the shepherd. About that. It has been he. It's now thou. The psalmist had been talking about him. Now he's talking to him. Song of Solomon said that I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. I was reading after a fellow that said he was watching shepherd, 10 sheep, and watching on the side of a hillside. And it was a fox. And that fox jumped a rabbit. And that fox got between the rabbit and its hole. And apparently they got two holes, generally. And so that rabbit tried for its backup hole, and it didn't work. That fox cut him off. So now on the side of this hill, here's this chase, and that rabbit is being chased by this fox, and the only advantage he's got is he can turn quicker than the fox can. So he was a zigging and a zagging, and he was throwing that fox off, and the fox was just, he'd get almost to him, and the rabbit would change direction, and it took the fox a minute to catch back up. And said that thing played around the side of that hill. And he said, that fox is going to get that rabbit. That rabbit's getting tired. It's running out of steam. That fox is going to catch that rabbit, just sure as the world. And said, the fellow sitting there said, I got to rooting for the rabbit. Shepherd watching his sheep said, I got to rooting for the rabbit. He said, and then suddenly that rabbit did something that was so out of characteristic. It was so unusual. Zigging and zagging. And said all of a sudden it took a beeline and it runs straight down that hill just as hard as it could run. Well, remember, foxes outrun you in a straight line run. But out of desperation, that rabbit knew it didn't have many zigs and zags left. And it run to the bottom of the hill and there was a little branch. And sticking up out of the branch was a whole bunch of water lilies. A bunch of lilies that grow over there on the sides of the creeks. And said that rabbit blew right in those lilies. And said that fox right behind him blew right in those lilies. He said, well, he's eat. But said in a minute, that fox stuck his nose up and he could see that fox's nose coming out of them lilies. And he was winding. You know what that said? He hadn't caught that rabbit. Because if he had caught it, he'd have been eating it. He'd have drug it out of there and been eating it. But he hadn't caught it because he was trying to find it. But you know what he found out? That fox is trained in on rabbit, but all he can smell is lily. Sometimes, hallelujah, we got to run to the lily of the valley. That's why he said that. Lily of the valley, the bright morning star. Psalm 27 says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Thank God. Can I say it this way? It's not about how rugged the valley is. It's not about how ruinous the valley is. But it's how we react in the valley that counts. And it's how we react in the valley that matters. So, we've established that faith becomes more plain in the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We've established the Lord becomes more personal in the valley. Thou art with me. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. But also, can I say that help becomes more precious in the valley. I'm going to step down for just a moment. Still here on the front from what I had it the other day. Somebody brought me this in the service and handed it to me. And that's not exactly a shepherd's staff, but it is. It's similar. And I've already preached on this thought, thy rod and thy staff, but I wanted to hit it again. Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now notice this. In this psalm, we've heard nothing about no tools. We've heard about nothing about no rod. We've heard nothing about no staff. Because we've been in the green pastures. We've been lying down by the still waters, haven't we? But now we're in the valley. And all of a sudden, the weapons of warfare come out. Those tools. I've got one. I didn't bring it. I should have brought the rod. Should have brought it. Got a knot on the end of it. They throw them. Pretty good weapon. And so, did the shepherd not have these down in the meadow beside the still waters? Yeah, he had them because there wasn't no Walmart to go buy them at, so he obviously had them. But as they started up through that valley of shadow of death, suddenly that rod and that staff meant something. It comes into view. It comes into picture. You see, that rod was for defending. That staff was for directing. You didn't beat a sheep with it, but you tapped it. If you wanted it to go a different way, you just tap it on its side and they'd know to go. You kind of herded them with them. You could direct them. And then finally, both the rod and the staff would be used, but mostly the rod is mentioned. Ezekiel 20, verse 37, I will cause you to pass under the rod. The rod was when they counted the sheep, and the rod was used for designating. This sheep needs some salve. This sheep needs some oil. This sheep needs this. This sheep's got a lame foot. This sheep, I think, is gonna fold, gonna have a baby. I think this one, you see. And so they passed under the rod. He'd get in a narrow place. They'd put them in the sheepfold of a night. Shepherd lay down in the door. Before they leave of a morning, they all had to come out. They didn't come out. They all went in all together, but they didn't come out that way. They come out one at a time. And that shepherd give his undivided attention to that one right there. That time. Can I say that the scripture says, Leviticus, Even whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So, the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I told you at the beginning, there's always going to be more God than you thought it was. We may run out of friends. We may run out of money. We might even run out of strength. But we'll never run out of the grace of God. You can count on it. And you see, the Lord has marked us. The Lord has marked us with His sweet Holy Spirit. That's the earnest of our inheritance. And we are the sheep of His pasture. And the fact that God lives in our hearts, that's God's mark and stamp upon each one of us that we're His property. I was reading about a lady. She was a songwriter. Her name was Frances Havergal. And she wrote several Christian songs. And the Word of God was her companion. I mean, it was her life. And on the last day of her life, someone there with her, she asked her, she said, "Would you read Psalm 42, verse 6 to me?" And she said, "Why, sure I will." She took Francis's Bible and she opened it up. And she read out loud. She said, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee." And said Miss Francis, reached over to her, put her hand on her. Lady, it was reading it. She said, "Called, held, kept." She said, "I can go home on that." And she closed her eyes and breathed her last. Can I tell you? You can go home on that. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Why? Because it won't be scary? No. Because it won't be hard? No. Because it won't be painless? No. Because thou art with me. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Ed McAbee told a story one time at Midway. He said he used to have a hypochondriac in his church. Said she'd see something on a soap opera and she'd have it. They'd watch that program with doctors and they'd have some kind of foreign disease come in there and they was operating on somebody, and by that afternoon she'd have it, the Shore's World. She'd catch it off of television. And Lord, she's just tore all to pieces. She's a hypochondriac. Everybody had something, she'd get it. Her friends would call and say, I got this wrong, I got that wrong. I think I got that. And that poor woman said she is the sickest woman you've ever seen in your life. And said, sure enough, there's different bouts of things, and she'd go to the hospital and Ed called Brother Ed McAbee, "Go down there." He'd go down to the hospital and she'd say, "Preacher, I'm a dying. He'd try to pray with her and read her verses and try to comfort the best he could. He'd come home and tell his wife, "Yeah, Miss So-and-so, she's down there, she's a dying, she's a crying, and it's awful." One day his wife finally got enough of it. She said, "She ain't a dying." He said, "How do you know?" Said, "She ain't got grace." Said, "She ain't got no dying grace." Said, "She ain't dying." And Ed thought to himself, "You know what? That is right. She's saved. I mean, got a strong testimony of being saved. She's a hypochondriac." And sure enough, every time I've been down there, said she just tore all to pieces. She go die. Just all to pieces. And that may have happened a couple more times. I don't remember exactly. But said one day he got the hot call to go to the hospital. Said, "Miss So-and-so's at the hospital again." He go down there and she went in. She said, "Good to see you, Pastor. So glad you could come." He talked to her a minute. She said, "Well, whatever the Lord's will." She said, "I've lived a good life. I'm ready to meet him." He had prayer with her. He come to the house. He said, Contact the ladies. We'll be having a meal. We'll be having a funeral. She said, how do you know? He said, I just come from the hospital. Sister so-and-so's in the hospital again. She said, and he said, before you say anything, honey, she's got dying grace all over. He said, in 3 days they buried her. You see, I don't know how I'm leaving here. I don't know when I'm leaving here. I just know I'm leaving. But you know the neat part? If that light that's casting all them shadows, boy, if we can just get a glimpse of his dear face. Ain't that what the songwriter said? Boy, if we can just get a glimpse of his dear face, it'll remove all those shadows, won't it? I believe we'd have more testimonies of saved people seeing the Lord if we didn't load them up on all that medicine. I also believe we'd have more people screaming of the flames of hell if we didn't load them up on all that medicine. It wasn't just for a generation gone by. Ralph Sexton was drawing his dying breath, and he's laying in the bed, got him propped up. Ralph Jr.'s with him, and he said, He said, Pop, what is it? He said, I'm a-seeing something. He said, well, let me in on it. Said, what is it? He said, I can't tell you. He said, why can't you tell me? He said, because you couldn't stand it. And said he was enjoying it. Said he was enjoying it. Said, he'd say. He was a smiling, big fake, big grin on his face. And he left here. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.